The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on October 14th, 2011, in Klaipėda, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shru Shru Shoshradadanasya Vasudeva Gataduchi Siyan Mahatseveya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras or demons who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states or ignorance, states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. These Asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries, according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save the human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to the particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. And people who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaved so just to warn us against the unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than the one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Dam Sajivam Sadaitam Suvarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalit Shivishakanvitamscha.
So there are very many nice points in this verse in purport. The first sentence of the purport describes how we got here in this position we're in now. We revolted against the Lord. We don't remember having done that, but actually we did. Each one of us did then. We were actually residents of his abode and we revolted against his authority. Therefore, this material world is compared to a prison. For those who revolt against the authority of the Lord. So within this prison we have the choice. We can continue to be against God, or we can rectify ourselves by becoming in favor of the Lord. Just like in the prison, some of the prisoners try to behave very nicely so they can be paroled, get out of the prison. Some of them continue their criminal activities, but inside the prison. Actually, they even have drug dealers inside the prison. They sell drugs to the other prisoners. They bribe the guards to smuggle in things, and then bring in drugs. It's all kinds of crime going on inside the prison. So one can try to be a model prisoner to be released, or you can just say, I don't care, and I'm just going to continue my criminal activities even while I'm in the prison. So in this material world, you can realize, I made a mistake, I revolted against the Lord, now let me rectify myself so I can go back to His kingdom. Or one can continue to defy the authority of the Lord and remain Him. Those who try to rectify themselves, they are called the suras, or the godly men. Those who have no interest to rectify themselves, they are called asuras, or the demoniac men. There's a nice verse actually in the Bhagavad Gita which vividly describes the asuras. Namang duskritina mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya parita jnana asurang bhavamashvataha. Four kinds, Krishna says, four kinds of impious men, four kinds of miscreants do not surrender unto me. The grossly foolish, the lowest among men, those whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion, and those who partake of the atheistic nature of demons. And in the following verse, he describes four kinds of pious men. Chaturvidha bhajante mang jana sukriti narjana artho jagyasa artarti jnani cha bharatarshava. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is seeking knowledge of the Absolute. So everybody falls into one of these eight categories. If you're a demoniac, then you're in one of the four demoniac qualities. If you're pious, then you're in one of the four types of pious people. And then there is a ninth category, and that's those who are fixed in pure devotion to God. They have no motive for coming to God. Yesterday morning we had a detailed class about that in Kamas. Those who approach God to fulfill their desires, they are called Sakama devotees. And those who approach God simply to please Him with no personal desires of their own, they are called Akama devotees. These Akama devotees, when there's difficulty, say, "Dear God, please free me from this difficulty." I need more money. I need a girlfriend. I need a boyfriend. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. That's called Sakama devotees. They come with all their desires to the Lord. But the Akama devotee, his position is, when he is in difficulty, instead of saying, "Dear Lord, please free me from this difficulty," he says, "My dear Lord, thank you for putting me into this difficulty." The Akama devotee sees how the difficulty is a great blessing. He experiences that everything that happens to him at every moment is the greatest blessing. Therefore, the Akama devotee has no anxiety about anything. He feels the loving care of the Lord at every minute and in all kinds, places, and circumstances. And he constantly reciprocates for the Lord. That love the Lord is giving him, he gives his love back to the Lord. He feels the Lord's love, he gives his love back to the Lord. In this way, there's constant reciprocation between the Akama devotee and Lord Krishna. In other words, the Akama devotee is directly associating with God at every minute. Now, what could be better association than that? Just think if you could directly associate with God at every minute. But what about the neophyte devotee? How can he do that? He's not qualified to see God. So how can you associate with him, someone you can't even see? So Krishna very kindly appears in the form of the deity, as we discussed last night. And he appears in the form of the spiritual master, who is his confidential servitor. So you can see the deity. You can see the spiritual master. And you can have loving reciprocation with the deity by offering service. And you can have loving reciprocation with the spiritual master by offering service. So this verse is giving the very good advice that by serving the pure devotees of the Lord, one can develop bhakti rasa, the taste for bhakti. Last night, one of the gentlemen in our assembly asked that, "What if you don't feel, have no feeling when you can't chant with feeling, Hare Krishna?" We explained to him that you can get the feeling from those who are having the feeling, just like at this assembly, we are chanting with feeling. So take that feeling home with you. When you chant on your own, you can remember the feeling we had at this meeting. So that's one way to do it. Now here, the Bhagavatam is giving another way to do it. Another way you can chant with feeling, you can hear with taste. Here's another secret of how to do it. You have to serve the pure devotees. By serving them, Krishna will bless you with a taste for hearing His messages. So one might ask, well, why does Krishna do that? I mean, what's this big deal about the devotees? I mean, they're just people like me. A devotee may appear to be an ordinary person, but God doesn't see the devotee like that. God sees, here is a person who has risked everything to spread my glories all over the world. He's not an ordinary sense gratifier, just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This person, Krishna says, is more dear to me than my very self. So, if you can become dear to such a person, then you automatically become very dear to God. So how do you endear yourself to someone? By serving them nicely. Then they can appreciate how you have served them and have all good wishes and blessings upon you. So this is the insider secret. How one can progress very rapidly on the pathway of spiritual perfection. Find where are the pure devotees of Krishna? Find the pure devotees. The akama devotees who are not serving for some motive, they're just serving for only the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So if you associate with the akama devotees, then you'll develop a very strong taste for Krishna consciousness. This taste is described by Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kuto palabhyate tattala yang abhimulya mekalam janmakoti sukritayana labhyate. He says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lifetimes. It can be achieved only by paying one price. That is the intense greed to obtain it. And then Rupa Goswami says this. He says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So who has that Krishna consciousness, you see? Where you can go and you can purchase it from them. Do you purchase it by litas? No, you purchase it by your eagerness. If you're greedy for Krishna consciousness, and you approach the akama devotees of the Lord who have no ulterior motive for serving Krishna, then the akama devotees can give you this Krishna consciousness. Even if you were to do pious activities for hundreds and millions of lifetimes, you still could not achieve this Krishna consciousness. But if you even get one moment's association with an akama devotee, and in his presence you have all eagerness to taste what is Krishna consciousness, then he can immediately bestow Krishna bhakti rasa upon you, the taste for Krishna consciousness. Simply you have to be eager. That I want Krishna consciousness. I'm not interested in the temporary so-called pleasures of this material world. I want to achieve that which is only rarely achieved. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mangbati tatvataha. He says, out of thousands among men, only one may endeavor for perfection. And out of 1,000 who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one will know me in truth. So to achieve this perfection of spiritual consciousness is a very rare thing. But that doesn't mean that you can't achieve it. You can. If you're eager. And you approach the akama devotee with your eagerness. Then he can give you this ultimate gift of Krishna consciousness. So, are there any questions? Yeah?
How to know who is akama devotee?
Yes, how do you recognize? That's pretty important. How do you know that person who is completely free from all vice, the akama devotee? Well, the first thing you have to see is he purely presenting the message of Krishna. That's the first thing you have to see. If you will carefully read the Bhagavad Gita and see that now, is this person purely presenting the message of the Gita, or is he introducing some other idea? It's like I went to hear one Swami one time. He said, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. That is not the conclusion. That is not the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is God and Arjuna is also God. That's not the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, Arjuna confirms in chapter 10, text number 12. Padang Brahma, Padang Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Vajang Vibhum. He says to Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ultimate abode. The purest. The absolute truth. You're the eternal. Transcendental. Original person. The unborn, the greatest. And then he continues, Ahushchang Rishayas Sarve, Devarshir Nadadastata, Asito Devalo Vyasa, Svayam Chaiva Bhavishi Me. He says, all the great sages have confirmed this truth about you. The famous Devarshi Narada has confirmed. Asita has confirmed. Devala has confirmed. And Vedavyas, the compiler of Vedic wisdom, has also confirmed. And now you, my Lord Krishna, are revealing the same truth to me, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Bhagavad Gita makes it very clear that God is one. Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we are His subordinate servants. He makes it very clear. So someone who presents a false teaching which is not in accordance with the Bhagavad Gita, they are not a common devotee. That's the first thing you have to see. Is he presenting the Bhagavad Gita as it is? In his words. Then you have to see, is he also following it? Is he addicted to wine, women, mining women, and meat? Or is he completely pure in his habits? Anybody can say anything, but what are his qualities? Is he a saint in his qualities? One has to study the spiritual master to see, is this person really free from material desires? Is his only business Krishna consciousness? Or does he do it to earn a livelihood and then in his time off he goes down to the brothel for a little recreation? Or the movies? You see? No, when Prabhupada came to America, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night, they had the Bhagavad Gita classes. It's not on Tuesday and Thursday evenings he would go to catch a Broadway play. Or go to see a movie. He was simply always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's one way you can tell. Is he preaching the message of Krishna without deviation? And is he always engaged in Krishna, serving Krishna 24 hours a day? That's how you can recognize the Akama devotee, the pure devotee. He has nothing else to do except serve Krishna constantly. So what does he do for a holiday or for a vacation? Does he take time off 2 weeks out of the year to do something else? No. His whole life is serving Krishna at every minute. So that's the Akama devotee that you should serve and surrender to. Any other questions?
Pavyzdžiui, kartokė, antra, yra, tai tokia pradžia. Klausimas yra, ar galėtų mokyti papasakoti, kaip jis susipažino su prieš pasaulės mokymu, kaip pradėjo praktikuoti ir kaip iš pradžių jums sekėsi, kad tuos šventus metus ir atlikti kitą praktiką.
Question is, how you start to practicing Krishna consciousness, how you was introduced to Krishna consciousness, and it was easier for you to chant and do other activities of Krishna consciousness.
Oh, how did I come to Krishna consciousness? Actually, I want to write a book because it's a very long answer. I can try to make a little nutshell, this a very compact, sutra-like description. When I began my university studies back in 1965, I was not so interested in the university studies. I wanted to know what is the purpose of life. That's what I wanted to know. And none of my professors could tell me. So I was searching how to find out what is the purpose of life. And then I heard that you could meditate and you could realize the purpose of life. So I tried meditating in different ways and nothing worked. And then I found out about this meditation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And it worked. When I chanted Hare Krishna, I felt like I was taping. I would come home, I was working in an apartment department store in downtown Denver, Colorado. And I would come home in the evening and I would just sit down in front of I had a big poster of Radha Govinda. I would just sit down and light some incense and a candle, and I would sit in front of this poster and I would just go, Hare Krishna. And it was amazing what I experienced. It was mystical. It's like taking off. It's just like taking off on a magic carpet. Into other dimensions of consciousness. So it wasn't like I had to, well, I got to force myself to chant Hare Krishna now, you know. Like someone gives you a key that opens the door to an amazing, wonderful, mystical land. They say, here's the key. Now do what you want to with it. You can throw it away. Well, what's this key? Or you can take that key and you go, you can open the door. A friend of mine gave me the key. His name was Patrick. He gave me the mantra. He had gotten it from the devotees in San Francisco. So I took that key and I opened the door and I found a whole other world in there. And it was so beautiful and it was so wonderful that I went through the door and I never came back. I'm inviting you to come through the door now too. Any other questions? See, it's not like, oh, you gotta, I have to force myself to do this. No. Not like that. Once you see that this is going to open the door to a whole other existence, then you take it with great joy and happiness. I have been blessed with this bhakti yoga system that enables me to pass through the door and remain on the other side without ever returning to the land of birth and death. even while I maintain an ordinary existence in this material world. That's the amazing thing about it. You can remain a mother. You can remain a father. You can remain an employee or a manager or a politician. Just like Arjuna, you see. He was a married man. He had, you know, there were wives, there were children, he had a job. He had all kinds of responsibility. But he was able to maintain all those responsibilities and at the same time pass through that door and live in that wonderful transcendental land. That's why the Bhagavad Gita calls these principles that we follow the regulated principles of freedom. It's not that, oh no, I have to, if I want to be a devotee, I have to get up early. I have to take a bath. You know, when I grew up as a kid in America, we were taught to take a bath once a week, and that was it. You just bathe once a week. But in Krishna consciousness, we bathe, you know, two or three times a day. Well, how do you possibly handle, you know, bathing two or three times a day? Well, the thing is, once you understand this is what keeps me in this transcendental consciousness, then you embrace, you take it joyfully. The disciplines are taken joyfully. It's a wonderful, wonderful airplane or vehicle that transports me into that transcendental dimension. The chanting, the regulated principles, the diet, all the things. It's a wonderful tool that one uses to stay in that transcendental dimension. Next question.
Question is, when we chanting mantra, should we try to chant from the heart or should we try to control our mind?
Do both. You should chant with feeling. Actually, if you chant with feeling, your mind will naturally be controlled, not automatically. The only time, just like if you meet a beautiful person that you love very much, do you have to force your mind to stay focused on your conversation with them? If you have feeling, your mind is automatically controlled. Now, if you're chanting without any feeling, then your mind will be going everywhere but away from the mantra. You're chanting mechanically, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. If you don't have feeling, your mind is going everywhere. What if you realize Krishna has personally come? The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself has come all the way from His spiritual world right here to Klaipėda, Lithuania, to personally give you His association. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You'll be fixed. So you get the feeling and then there'll be no trouble controlling your mind. And how do you get the feeling? That's today's verse. By serving the Mahatmas, the Akama devotees. By serving them, you will get that feeling. Next question. Jai, what is it?
Mano klausimas yra, kaip mokytojas suprato, kad reikia tarnauti tokiems atsidavusiems ir kaip jis pradėjo tarnauti Šrilai Prabhupadai.
Question is, how you understand that we should serve to Mahatmas and how you start to serving to Srila Prabhupada?
How to understand that one should serve the Mahatmas and how did I start serving Prabhupada? Well, we understand from the scriptures, it's right. We understand from this verse that one should serve the Mahatma. That's stated in this verse. So that's how you get the understanding from the scriptures. And the devotees, they will, who are preaching according to the scriptures, they will tell you the same thing. And then you can see what the devotees are experiencing by serving the Mahatmas. That's what inspired me to take the final step of surrendering to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. When I saw what the devotees were feeling by surrendering to Prabhupada, I knew they were feeling something I'd never experienced before. Something far more beautiful, far more wonderful than I ever tasted in millions and billions of lifetimes. I knew the devotees were tasting it, and well, I was greedy. I wanted to taste it too. I was thinking, wouldn't it be beautiful to give my life to Prabhupada? And that was it. I said, okay, that's it. I'm giving my life to Prabhupada. I was envious of those devotees. They were tasting a nectar that I had no access to. And I was, you know, you see somebody is driving a Rolls Royce, you're envious. You want to drive one too? When your best friend pulls up in a Rolls Royce, you're naturally envious. So why can't I? I want to have one too. So when I saw the devotees were feeling this amazing, you know, prema, Krishna prema. They were tasting this Krishna prema, the most amazing experience you could ever have in millions of lifetimes. I was very envious in a bad way, but in a positive way. I'm going to join them. I want it too. So that's how I started. I could see the devotees were tasting something and I had no access to, and I wanted that access also. And I got it. And I have it. And I can give it to you. If you want it.
What is base for Vedic culture is democracy or authoritarianism?
Vedic culture is a dictatorship. Krishna is the supreme dictator. We all surrender to him, do whatever he says. He's our dictator. But don't worry, he's not a Hitler or a Stalin. He's a benevolent dictator. He's full of love and kindness. Yeah.
Krishna's a dictator, but we have to do anything anywhere. We have to do. He's such a dictator.
We have to
do whatever he does, gives us. We have to take it.
But here.
There's no escape.
But here's the insider's secret. That supreme dictator, Krishna, if you fully surrender to him, he'll let you be the dictator. Just like
Arjuna,
Krishna became his chariot driver. Arjuna dictated to Krishna, now you drive my chariot here, you drive my chariot there. So, by love, you can conquer the supreme dictator. You'll be the dictator over him by love. So this is not an ordinary dictator of this world. This is called transcendental dictator. He will let you be the dictator also. You can become more powerful than God by love.
O dabartinė pasaulyje yra tokia tendencija, kad, kaip sakyt, visi geri dalykai yra sugadinami. Tai ką darys, sakykime, kad tavo vedinės kultūros tas dieviškasis autoritizmas, jis netaptų, reiškia, demiško autoritizmo, bet, nu, naudojantis šitą kultūrą, reiškia, žmonės vėl nebūtų, reiškia, kaip sakant, vedami ne ten, kur reikia. Tas yra matomas, sakykime, su krikščionybe ir su politika, taip toliau.
Dabartinėme amžiuje yra tendencija viską sugadinti ir kaip elgtis, kad taip pat ir nesitiktų su dvasinė praktika.
Būtent, kad vedinė kultūra nebūtų panaudota
jau
tas autoritizmas
kažkokiems tai asmeninėms motyvams.
In Kali Yuga, everything is spoiled. So how to act...
Everything is what?
Spoiled.
False?
Spoiled. Everything is spoiled. Everything becoming bad.
Oh, bad, okay.
So how to act that this Vedic culture also not became something bad for using people for...
A Vedic culture has never become bad. What's bad is the perverted reflection of Vedic culture. Vedic culture is always good.
We can use Vedic culture for good and for bad. So
no, there's Vedic culture cannot, if you're doing bad, it's not Vedic culture. What you're thinking of is the Varnashram system. You're thinking of the Varnashram system, perhaps. There's the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Now there's two forms of that system. There's the bona fide Vedic system. That is called Daivi Varnashram or Divine Varnashram system. There is its perverted reflection, which is called Asuri Varnashram or Demoniac Varnashram. What troubles you, and I'm also troubled by it, is the Demoniac Varnashram system. They take the idea and they twist it and they abuse it. They say that your caste is based on your birth. And one caste exploits the other caste. Perhaps that's what you're thinking about. But that is not the Vedic... that you're thinking about then. But that is not the Vedic system. That's a counterfeit version of it. It's like there's real money and there's counterfeit money. It looks like the real money, but actually those who are expert can see it's counterfeit money. So the present Varnashram system is the demoniac Varnashram system. It's the counterfeit Varnashram. It's not the real Varnashram system. They've changed it. In the original system, your caste is not determined by your birth. It's determined by your qualities. Those who have the qualities of being an intellectual or a priest, no matter who they're, what family they're born in, they are Brahmin. Those who have the qualities of heroism and chivalry, they are the Kshatriya class. Doesn't matter where they're born. Those who are very industrious for enterprise and for agricultural activities, they are the Vaishyas. And those who are not very self-motivated, who require to work under somebody just so they can do something, they are the Shudra class. So these are all based on one's natural proclivities or tendencies. The modern day system, they said it's on birth, but that's not correct. If you study the Bhagavad Gita, you will see very clearly it is not based on birth. Look in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 13. Chaturvarnam mayashishtam guna karma vibhagasha. Krishna says the four divisions of the society are based on one's qualities and one's activities. He does not say it's based on janma or birth. The modern day system, they say it's based on birth, but that's false. It's not true. It's not the Vedic system. It's a counterfeit version. It's not the real thing. So does that help your understanding?
He has one more question.
Something?
Should Damodar go now to get the window done?
Yeah, go get the window done now.
They're just going to put the plastic. They don't have windows.
They don't have a window here?
So they're going to just put the plastic.
All right, we'll just put some plastic so we can travel. Yeah, clean all the glass. The police came.
Yeah, all the paperwork is done.
They made a police report?
Everything's
done, and just go put something so we can travel in it. Yeah, go ahead and do that now. Yeah. Okay, next question. He had another question, and then we'll take yours after that. What is you're satisfied now? All right, your turn.
Vedinė filosofija, bet man
sudėtinga, aš nematau Klaipėdoje perspektyvų, ar būtų praktiškai išvažiuoti kažkur į Majapūrą ar kažkur kitur.
For 20 years I'm interested in Vedic culture, and but I not see any perspective for me here in Klaipėda for spiritual life. It would be practical to go to Mayapur or some other place for a better spiritual practice.
Are you married?
He's living alone.
Oh, you don't live with anybody, you're completely alone. All right, do you, how do you earn your livelihood?
He's getting pension from government.
I see. So if you go to Mayapur, you'll lose your pension?
No.
You'll keep it. So you have to spend some time here. You have to maintain your... You can't go there permanently. You have to just, you can come back, go and come, right? Can he live there permanently? But in India, you cannot stay permanently. You have to... You can stay, I think, up to 6 months, and then you have to come out again. So, I would recommend that you visit there, and it would be very good for you to visit there. We have Bhakti Shastri training courses in Mayapur. I would recommend that you go there and you spend a few months and get trained, get a Bhakti Shastri degree.
Two times I was in India and I like it very much, so but I'm thinking to live in India or not to live, to go or not to go.
He visited and he liked it. Yes. You can't live there permanently and you can't legally do that.
But legally, a
Lithuanian citizen can't just go and stay there permanently. You have to come out again and get your visa renewed.
Lietuvos pilietis negali ten legaliai pastovi gyventi.
Yeah, we have Mayapur very close. We have Mayapur has come to Kaunas. You should come and live in the Brahmachari Ashram in Kaunas. And then sometimes you can go to Mayapur, and then sometimes you can come back to Kaunas. You can live. There's a very nice Mayapur right here in Kaunas. It's called Nittai Gaurachandra Dham. You can come to Nittai Gaurachandra Dham and live in Mayapur right here in Lithuania. So you come and live in our ashram and learn how to surrender your heart, your thoughts, words and deeds to Krishna 24 hours a day.
Once he becomes strong himself, then he can start Bhakti Riksha and he can fly better in his home.
Start what?
Bhakti Riksha, regular Bhakti Riksha in Klaipeda.
You know, once you're trained up, then you can come here and create Mayapur right here in Klaipeda.
Okay, so stipresi dvasiškai gali grįžti Klaipeda ir čia sukurti Mayapur.
Mayapur is available everywhere. It's a matter of purifying your consciousness. You can live in Mayapur right here in Klaipeda. You just have to be trained how to be fixed in Krishna Bhakti, that's all. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here.
Awesome.
Thank you all very much for your participation. especially to our host, you're facilitating. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Vishwasa Tashan Kali Maharaj ki jai.